Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas taking you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Time now for us to talk some Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. And we bring in Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network. Don't forget, when we wrap up our talk with Jim Jones here, we'll give you the cue to call to win a four-pack of tickets along with a parking pass and some Cavaliers swag. And the tickets this week are for the Saturday, November 24th game at Quicken Loans Arena against the Houston Rockets. But again, you have to wait for the cue to call. And it's courtesy of your North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco. Visit your locally owned and operated North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco at Center Ridge and Barton Roads. They're open every day of the year. Jim, as always, we appreciate the time very much. We certainly appreciate you joining us here as you do every single week. And I want to get into last night's game for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Unfortunately, the Cavs came out on the wrong end of the decision against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But sometimes at losses, you could take away some positives and you could learn a few things along the way. And Jim, if you were to dive into this a little bit deeper, what are some of the positives that you could take away from last night's loss?
Well, I think there were quite a few. I think the first thing is that we have to look at the tenure of Coach Drew. And since he's come on board, they're more organized. Their defense, their transition defense has greatly improved. It's gotten better a little bit every game. And the last two games, they've given themselves the chance to win. Of course, on the road against Oklahoma, a game they should have won. But they made a few mistakes at the end with time and score. If Jetty holds that ball, they win that game going away. He goes to the free throw line. He makes a couple of free throws, game over. But he's young. The young players are going to make mistakes. You know, the one thing about closing games is that the game slows down. It doesn't go faster. And if you've watched Jetty Osmond play, he plays fast all game, you know, because he thinks that's what you're supposed to do. That's an experience, because when teams are trying to close games, everything's become more difficult. The defenses are more in tune. There are no more secrets. There are no more rotations. So you're pretty predictable. So the game does slow down. He didn't slow down. You know, if you've ever watched him play, he plays the same pace all game, and it's impossible to do and still improve. But he's young, he's enthusiastic, he wants to do well, all those good things. So what a coach has to do, and Drew's very good at that, he has all these young players, and he's got to be careful how he approaches them, because the toughest challenge in sports is when you're losing, is to keep motivated, because young players, their self-esteem is so fragile. If you got kids, you know what I'm talking about. Their self-esteem is so fragile, you'll tell a joke and they'll start crying. you know. So he's in a tough position. But I think their defense has improved. He's found some rotations, especially with the big three, J.R., Tristan, and George Hill. George Hill was out, of course. But the other two have been playing the best basketball I've seen them play in 2 years. Tristan Thompson is at the top of his game. He's looking to score more. Therefore, he's lesser of a liability on the offensive end, because teams just can't leave him, because he's looking to score and he's scoring at the rim. And those are analytic points. You know, in analytics, they want you to shoot the three and they want you to finish at the rim. Well, that's what Tristan's doing. He's finishing at the rim, high percentage. So I think those things, finding the combination, doing a better job in transition defense, and learning as they go along.
Last week when we spoke, I wanted to hit on a point about George Hill. You had mentioned in a game last week, I believe it was last Tuesday night or last Wednesday night, it was early on in the game. You mentioned that, you know, George Hill is scoring quite a bit, and that's great, but you mentioned that the Cavaliers, in order to be successful, are going to need him to play make more and not necessarily score as much. And I wanted to give you a chance to kind of expand on that and tell us why it's more important for George Hill to play make more than it is for him to score.
Well, because you got to look at who the personnel he had on the floor. He had Jetty Osmond, who teams are getting a pretty good book on as far as what he likes to do. He's got a player like Rodney Hood, who has to get to certain spots on the floor. Notice I said certain spots on the floor. He's not the kind of guy yet that can score from anywhere on the floor, even though he's a scorer-shooter. you know, still his best offense is in transition when he has open space and there's not a lot of decisions to make. You either drive or you shoot the ball after a couple dribbles. So you've got two players there that they have to be in their spots to be effective. You also have a center who needs help scoring. Tristan's not going to beat you off the dribble from the wing. He's not going to post you up consistently. He gets his stuff off hustle stuff and learning how to get free around the rim, and he's been finishing strong. So you got three players right there that need a tremendous amount of help to get their offense. And so when you're out there playing and you're the point guard who's going to dominate the ball the most, you can always get your shot. At least that's in theory. But if you don't have confidence getting your shot, if you notice his scoring, everybody's giving him the ball. Everybody's giving him the ball. You know, he's doing a great job of going back door and they're finding him. He'll come around to pick. He's not the first or second option. And all of a sudden, hey, George Hill's open, and George Hill makes the shot. But they're facilitating him rather than him facilitate them. Now, I know that there's no traditional guard play in our league anymore. Guards have to score. But most of those guards are getting it off their own initiative. He's getting most of his offense off of being the receiver rather than the distributor. So what does that do to the other guys who don't have the strongest games, who are dealing with a whole lot of other issues as far as offense is concerned? They need someone to facilitate them, someone to get them in the spots, get organized, look for them throwing the ball in time so they got space before the defense closes out. All of that little stuff, that's guard play. And he's got to do that better. But I don't want to take anything away from the best game he's played as a Cavalier in Orlando. He almost brought us back. We just couldn't find him at the end of games. And that's another court awareness thing we have to do. If a guy is hot, you've got to find him.
We're talking with Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, boy, some interesting comments that were made at the end of last night's game by Coach Drew addressing the idea of the young rookie Colin Sexton and, you know, still trying to catch up with these guys. And I think what I've really found profound, I found interesting about his comments at the end of the game was that, you know, we've talked about how he's such a great communicator. We had you on last week. You mentioned he's a terrific communicator, but a great teacher as well. And part of being a great communicator and being a great teacher, I think you'll agree, is knowing how to get personalities to mesh and play together. And it seemed like, you know, some of the veterans had really kind of taken exception to the idea that maybe Colin Sexton is still learning to play this game. And I think that the main thing I took away from the soundbite I heard was that he told some of those veterans, look, he's 19 years old. You guys were 19 at some point, right? And I think there's a lot of relatable material within that, isn't there?
It is, man. And Jetty's the same way. You know, Jetty's just as young as he is as far as playing in our league, you know, but he's so aggressive, and I love it. And it's a fragile thing. You want him to learn stuff, but you don't want him to not be aggressive. And if you listen to Coach Drew last night, the thing that he was saying was the same thing about this young kid. He's going to make mistakes, but we have to make sure he stays aggressive. And he was. You know, hey, listen, he and Jetty, it's okay for them to be disappointed in their play. But Drew as a coach has to let them know that we're not disappointed in them. See, that's the denominator. You know, when you penalize your kids for doing something wrong, you know, and they drop their head and you say, put your head up. You know, they become disappointed because, you know, they lost approval. But that's not important. If you're the father or the coach, you have to let them know I'm not disappointed in you and that I understand what you're going through. So just keep playing hard, and it works itself out. And that's where we're at. You know, good coaching is good teaching. And this is a fragile situation. He comes in, the season started. Now he signed a contract. He's going to implement more of his stuff. You're thinking about the plays and the defensive strategies and how we're going to play. And everybody else you're playing is just playing on how to beat their man and how to be part of a team concept. They're into that already. So they have an advantage over you psychologically. And so we've got to fight through all of that and still be able to compete and play ball. It's a little more difficult.
And even though we're only a few weeks into the season, you know, what are some of your general impressions of the rookie Colin Sexton? Obviously, a lot of hype being the eighth overall pick, and a guy, I think, based on the way he played in the summer league, people were really excited to see him. And certainly he's endured some growing pains early on. But what are some of your general impressions of him 3 weeks into the season?
Well, I think at some point in his career, he's going to be an all-star. You know, and I really believe that. I think he's got the heart and the toughness and the competitiveness to get better. And he shows it every time he's on the floor. Of course he makes mistakes. He's 19 with 1 year of college experience. You know, what do you expect? You know, but for our veteran players, whoever they are, I don't know who they are, but whoever they are, to say that, it just has a smell of a certain level of arrogance and entitlement. Well, most of those guys that are sitting over there are bench players, and they're bench players for a reason, because when you play them more than a certain amount of time, you expose their limitations, and many of those limitations are not so much physical as they are psychological. You know what I'm saying? A bench player is a bench player for a reason. You're not sitting many starters down on the bench. I'm telling you that, not in our league. You know what I mean? Guys who can get it done for 36 minutes and still give you a superior effort of competitiveness and production. So you have to understand the definition of a bench player. They're there for a reason, because there's some deficiency that they can't play a sustained period of minutes before they become a liability. You see where I'm going with this?
Sure, sure.
So there should be an attitude on them to humble themselves and help this kid, not necessarily bring judgment. You know, it's a fine observation, but to bring judgment on a young 19-year-old is asinine and immature. See, you see real leadership when things aren't going well. And 90% of leadership is not what you say, it's what you do. When I was a rookie with the New York Nets, I was the second player to ever leave college before his graduated year. And there were guys on the bench who were scrubs that I was killing every day in practice, but they were like 5 to 7 years older than me. And after practice or during practice, they're trying to tell me what to do, right? And I didn't listen. And so one day said, "Oh, man, you don't want to learn." I said, "Les, what are you talking about?" "Well, I'm trying to help you." I said, "You're not trying to help me." I said, "Hell, you can't even help yourself. I mean, look at you. You scrub just like these other guys. You know, I want somebody to tell me something based on their actions, not by what they say." And they looked at me, and I lost a lot of them. But the guys that were playing a lot, you know, I used to sit next to them and listen to them, because they were out there in the action. And it wasn't what they said. It was more about how they played and what they did. And those are the best teachers. The best teaching is by example. And anybody who thinks that they can all of a sudden, like a black and white movie, tell somebody something just because I'm older than you and I've been around is garbage, because they're there for a reason and they have issues. So I'm sort of disappointed, but I'm glad that Coach Drew cleared that up.
I think we're all glad that he cleared that up. There's no question about that, because the last thing this team needs right now is turmoil. There's no question about that.
No.
But, and maybe it's too early to tell here, Jim, but do you think that, you know, obviously the message was heard loud and clear, but, I mean, do you get the impression that maybe these guys took to that and they understand that the only way they're going to get better is if they reach out and they help this young man? I mean, as you mentioned, not just by saying things to him, but also showing him a few things along the way.
That's right. You know, quit trying to mold him. You know, quit trying to stop. You know, just hold it. Stop. You know, just accept what, you know, where he's at, and show by example. You know, everybody can't teach him. I was, you know, listen to your coach and your coaches, and just keep working hard. You know, coaches, it's fragile for Lou. It's fragile for his assistant coach, you know, because what you don't want to do as a coach is to confuse and frighten them, because players look at their coach for support, not as someone who's just going to criticize them all the time. And Lou's not, and Drew's not made like that. You know, he's a teacher, but he also has the kind of demeanor and behavior that he's consistent in that. And that's what kids, young players especially, are looking for. They're looking for someone that when they look over at the bench, he's not frowning. He doesn't throw his hands in his pocket. He doesn't throw his hands up when I make a mistake. He doesn't point fingers at me in the huddle during timeouts. You see where I'm going with this? This is how you develop kids. This is how you develop talent. You know, and this kid is very, very talented. We didn't make a mistake in drafting this kid. Some other players may be farther along, but they may be on different types of teams. I mean, we're a struggling team, so everything is magnified. But this kid has tremendous talent. I had a couple veteran players tell me, ex-players tell me, he's not a point guard. And I didn't argue the point. I just nodded and put my head down, and they left. And another guy told me to say, hey, well, he's not a point guard. And I didn't want to address them because I didn't want to get any arguments, because it was stupid for them to say that, because we only have two true point guards left in our league, and that's the kid at Utah that was at Minnesota. I can't think of it, the Italian kid.
Rubio.
Rubio and Chris Paul. Everybody else is score first, score first, score first, score first. Oh, okay, now I'll pass. You know, because you don't need a definition of a true point guard anymore. What you need is someone to handle the ball and facilitate, that can create for himself and everyone else. And so those guys are still in mud. This is a different type of game, but it's the same game. The efforts, all the mental stuff, all of the psychological stuff is probably the same, but the structure has changed and modified. We have wings, we have ball handlers, and we have bigs. And bigs aren't defined by physical height.
Yeah, no question about that. And I think, to your point, you know, one of the things that we commonly hear in the games that we cover in our area, especially at high school, coaches always say they're always observing you, even when you're not out on the floor. And your body language says a lot about you when you're on the bench and you're not playing. And, you know, I think it certainly says a lot about the individual based on what they do, as you mentioned,
That's
not
right.
necessarily what they say, even when things aren't going well and you're not playing as often as you'd like.
Right. You know, I'm old enough now to realize that you can tell me anything, but I'm not watching what you said or say. I'm looking at what you do. Actions speak louder than words. You know, one of the greatest gifts that the Creator gave us was observation. And to think about it, babies, when they're first born, their ability of observation is a lot stronger than anything that they'll develop intellectually. Because those first, just seeing, watching, and feeling, you can learn more about a situation, an event, than you can from somebody just speaking words. So I've always been a good observer. I've always had a sort of an analytical mind. I guess that's because of my philosophy degree. But the point I'm making is that don't tell me, show me. And those veterans that sit over there, they need to just humble themselves just a little bit more. And don't be in such a hurry to say, but be more in a hurry to do. You know, that's the easiest way to help this kid.
Absolutely. Well, the next Cleveland Cavaliers basketball game in Chicago, they take on the Bulls on Saturday night. Jim, thank you so much for the time. We always appreciate the time catching up with you here. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, see you then.
All right, thank you very much. Again, Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, we've been telling you to wait for your cue to call. Here's your cue to call. Again, it is a four-pack of tickets to the Saturday, November 24th game at Quicken Loans Arena between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Houston Rockets, a parking pass and a bag of Cavaliers swag involved as well. In order to win, you have to be the first caller at 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930. You'll get a four-pack of tickets. You'll get a parking pass and some Cavaliers swag. You'll have to go on down to your locally owned and operated North Bridgeville convenience, Sunoco at Center Ridge in Barton Roads, in order to pick up the bag of Cavaliers swag and the parking pass. So be the first caller at 440-322-0930. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return after this on AM 930 WEOL.